I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. As we have entered this new year, we're once again made aware of the relentless march of time. Some of our families were gathering together just this afternoon, and we were discussing how quickly our children have grown. Children that we last saw when they were 8, 9 years old are now 20, 21, going on in life. It's just amazing to see how children are growing. And of course, that does not mean that we're getting older, does it? It just means that we are living full lives and have the joy of seeing our children and children's children go on for the Lord, and that's a blessing. But you know, every minute that goes by, think of it, every minute, every tick of the clock that passes will never, ever, ever be able to be regained again. Truly, only what's done for Christ will last. I recently saw a bumper sticker in a car that said, "You have 24 hours to live." But underneath, as you got a little closer, did a little tailgating, it got your interest, there was some smaller writing that said, "Today, that is." So we have 24 hours to live today. And then tomorrow, should the Lord give us another 24 hours, we have another 24 hours to give. But you know, this text before us, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, is filled with tremendous wisdom on how we should approach this year. Five directives that are given to us in Ephesians chapter 5, just this small portion of Scripture, 15 through 17. You'll notice in Ephesians 5, Paul uses the term walk in three areas. In Ephesians 5:2, he tells us to walk in love. And then in verse 8, he says, walk as children of light. And then our passage today, walk circumspectly. Those are the three areas that Paul is dealing with. But today we're going to look at a right start in the new year, reading verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's take a look at the first directive that God gives us for the coming new year in these scriptures. And there are five. Number one, we are to walk carefully. We are to walk carefully. The scripture puts it this way in the first part of verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. We are to be very careful that we live our lives with such care as if it were our last day. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, every day, watch your step, watch your choices, watch your attitudes, for out of it are the issues or the course of your life. Young people say, I want to find God's will for my life. God's will is framed by the daily choices that we make. And we trust that we're following the Word of God in those choices that we make. You know, it's interesting, for those of you that have been in the military, some of you are well acquainted with Jeff Cooper, who is a firearms specialist. He's also used quite frequently in academy training in the police department. If you were to ask anyone who has been in the police department, you're aware of the stages of awareness. And you'll notice here, there are four stages of awareness. It's an awareness color code chart. And every one of you in this room, as you go through life, you may find yourself in one of these areas. First of all, there's condition white. A lot of people, when they're driving a car, the last thing they have on their mind is driving that car. They are condition white, totally oblivious to surroundings. Their eyes are not aware of peripheral movement. They do not look. Just because you have a green light does not mean that you have a license to floor it into the intersection. You really need to quickly look both ways to see if anybody's running that light. Because guess what? People run red lights because they're late. Oh, I got to get through, and I'm going to get through. And if you gun it on the other end, you're going to get T-boned. Condition white. How many of you have ever seen somebody walking down the hallway and they're your best friend, but they're just walking down the hallway and they pass you? They're just condition white because they have their mind on getting to that appointment. Well, here's condition white. It's the lowest level. You're switched off, unaware of what's going on around you and not really ready for anything. It's the type of person that will go to Walmart and then on the way out, leaving Walmart, they just walk towards their car and they don't even notice that there may be some people that are sitting on the hood of their car. And instead of turning around and finding one of those big, tough Walmart cardboard security cops to come and help you, or at least someone to walk with you, they just realize they come upon that, or else they start fumbling for their keys at the last minute. Condition white. You know, some Christians live the Christian life. Condition white. And they're not aware that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the worst thing that we can do is to go into 2019 condition white and not aware that Satan is out to destroy us. Reasons affecting one that may be in this condition, it could include sleep deprivation. Maybe you've got sleep apnea, sleep deprivation, you've had problems, fatigue, stress, medicine, alcohol, drugs, whatever the case might be, senility, depending on where you are in life. But many people are condition white, and this is why you have to drive defensively. You have to be ready for other people's mistakes. Oh, I never thought that they were going to do that. This is why you leave space between cars and all of that. So condition white. But then there's another condition, and it is Jeff Cooper calls condition yellow. By the way, a police officer cannot be condition white. When he's on patrol, he needs to constantly be vigilant as to who is walking on the sidewalk, who's sitting on the stoop, who may be doing something and being somewhere where he should not be. So you can see how this has worked its way in police nomenclature and military nomenclature. Anyone that is on patrol, you dare not be a daydreamer. But condition yellow is you are alert. You're aware that anything can happen. You are alert, but you're also calmed and relaxed. That's very, very important. I remember a friend of mine that was in field training in the police department, and when he got into the patrol car for the first time, he was sitting and he was going like this, like Barney Fife. He was just like this. He was just waiting for the boogeyman or something to happen, to pop out of the bushes, and he was going to be ready. Well, he was not really condition yellow. He was not calm and relaxed, okay? But in condition yellow, you're alert and aware. You're alert to your surroundings and your environment. Don't focus on the hood ornament when you're driving a car, okay, is the idea. This is why when the Bible says walk circumspectly, It has the idea, and I'm going to ask you to identify what level circumspectly means. But you're aware and you watch body language. Somebody comes up to you in the parking lot at Walmart and you don't know them and they start talking to you. Look at their hands. Hands kill. Hands can hurt. They can help, but hands can hurt. And watch their hands. If they're going to do anything, you watch their hands. That's a key important thing in being condition yellow, being aware of what's going on. What are they doing with their hands? If you're talking to someone and their feet are starting to turn like this, what do you think that means? They're getting ready to run. You have to watch people's body language, okay? You're witnessing to someone and they're like this. You can read the body language, okay? Glenn, you can unwrap your hands now, okay? We're not talking to you. Now, in my case, when you go like this, I'm just hiding my tummy. Well, nonetheless, condition yellow, you're alert, you're not paranoid, you're not going to be surprised. Someone comes up to your car, you're aware that they're coming and you're prepared for them, okay? Now, condition orange is a heightened level of awareness. You sense that something is not right. You're evaluating, you're formulating a plan, kind of like Brother Rigby in the last hurricane. He had done all he could to safeguard and support and buttress the windows, and he was sitting in his living room and he was wondering, if this happens, I'm going to do this. And if this happens, I'm going to do this. Am I right, Ken? He told me that he was that way. If that sliding glass door busts open, I'm going to run. I'm going to do this. But he was condition orange. He was ready and ready to act. You sense that something isn't right, and you formulate a plan. Some of you may think I'm paranoid, but every time I go to a restaurant, I never have my back to the front. And I'm always aware of where the exit doors are. But you know what? That was ingrained in me. And it's a good practice to be aware of that. Now, condition red means the fight is on. You're taking decisive and immediate action. The guy is starting to pull out a knife, and you have to do something. The devil is coming, and he's tempting. You need to use and rely upon the word of God and take immediate action. Sometimes, like Joseph, you need to run and flee from temptation. But be aware. The Bible says, walk circumspectly. And that means carefully. If I were to give you a word picture, if I told you, walk carefully to your car, but I want you to be aware that there are landmines all along the pathway. So you be careful and mark every single step. That's what it means to walk circumspectly. You are watching yourself and you are aware. And the scriptures tell us that we are to enter into this year fully aware of the devices, the methodias of the devil. But we have the Lord and we have his presence and his promises, and we can rely upon the word of God. But how critical it is that we stay in fellowship with the Lord. Walk carefully. Walk carefully. That's what the first directive for the coming new year. Even Jeff Cooper knew how critically important it was. And a police officer that is not wearing the proper armor and walking circumspectly will find himself in serious trouble. Then here's the next step. Not walk carefully, but secondly, walk correctly. The second part of verse 15, it says this, not as fools, not as morons, but as wise. A fool is a person who orders and arranges his life as if there were no God. We are to walk not as fools, but as wise. And wisdom means to take God's word and apply it in sound judgment as we make decisions day by day. What does it say in Psalm 119, verse 105? It says this, speaking of the word of God, "Thy word is a light unto my feet." It's a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know about you, but I keep a flashlight right next to my bedstand. And that flashlight is connected to the bottom of my Sig Sauer. For those of you that don't understand, that's okay. And then outside the door is Samson. And then surrounding all of us is the angel of the Lord. So that's a good combination. Amen? Well, let me quickly say this. God's word is a light. We need not fear the unknown of 2019. The word of God says, "The word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path." It says, "Not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly, walk correctly," and number three, "walk committed." Look at verse 16. The word of God says, "Because we are to redeem the time." We are to redeem the time. Some of you have gotten saved very late in life. And I know that in some cases it's a regret to you because some of your children were born during the time where you were unsaved, and certain attitudes and impressions may have been implanted in their young lives through wrong decisions, wrong actions. But also our children can also be very forgiving. I have found that to be the case. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm also aware of the fact that God can make up the years that the locusts have eaten. We can trust in Him. But you know, the word redeem is the language of redemption. It's used of what the Lord did when He bought us out of the slave market of sin. And when He redeemed us, He bought us from the slave market of sin, the auction block. And now we're exhorted to walk in light of our redemption. And the language of redemption is used in our usage of time. The Lord shed His blood and died on the cross, and He wants us to use our time very effectively for Him. Whether we are retired or fully employed or whatever the case might be, every day God wants us to be used for His glory and His honor. And we are to walk committed to the work of the Lord. Some of you might say, "Well, Pastor John, what are you planning on doing when you retire in the future?" I already have invitations from several churches to come, namely the churches of my kids, to come and speak. But I plan on doing volunteer work and just get involved in Melody and I and helping children, how to read, going to the public school and getting involved, even volunteering in certain capacities from time to time, even in a hospital, being available for counseling as the Lord may allow. There are different things that we can do. I have a close acquaintance of mine that says, "Oh, it's wonderful to be able to sleep past 10:30. That's not me. I'll still be up at 5 a.m. Maybe I'd like to do a little bit of writing as well. That would be a joy to be able to do. Just continue to sermonize and simonize and do everything else. And Melody will keep me busy, I am sure. Lots of honeydew. But we thank the Lord that we can redeem the time. Walk carefully, walk certainly, redeeming the time, and walk committed. Then number four, we are to walk cautiously. The Bible says we are to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Did you ever think that you would live to see the things that you are seeing now? I didn't. When I talked to my mother and the things that she had seen coming in, and it is amazing what we see today. The coarseness, the hatred, the animosity for the things of the Lord, calling evil good and good evil. We see the presence of sin everywhere, and we see that the world is running headlong towards the tribulation period. Take a look at Psalm 101. I want to point out to you a scripture. Psalm 101, really the whole chapter is a blessing as we look at, but we're facing evil days. And I have a lot of skin in the game when I see my boys going into the ministry and get phone calls during the week about things that they're facing. And they are facing things, folks, that I have never faced in 43 years of ministry. And if I went forward to share with you, you'd be shocked. Or maybe you wouldn't, because you're quite aware of what's going on in the world today. But look at Psalm 101, if you will. Psalm 101. This is a psalm of King David as he ascends the throne of Israel, and he's entering into a new experience. And boy, this could so echo our relationship with the Lord. It says here in Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment, unto thee will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What a New Year's message this would make. Just Psalm 101. And he says, a proud, froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. That word know, yada, speaks of an intimate relationship. Whoso privately slanders his neighbor, I'll cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Proper peer relationships, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect, a mature way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within mine house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, certainly, we're not going to be committing homicide, murdering people, but we are to put away those things that would draw our hearts or our children's hearts away from the things of the Lord. Oh, we are to walk cautiously. Walking cautiously. And as I shared this morning in my message, I see where young families and individuals are bringing things into their homes through the internet and through television that ought not to be seen or heard, and how we need to be cautious about that as well. Now, let's go back to Ephesians, back to our primary text and the passage as we continue in our thoughts for a successful new year. Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verse 17. We are to walk consciously. We are to practice the presence of the Lord in our hearts and lives. Notice what it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times in which they were living. We need to practice a conscious presence of the Lord in our lives. So let me finish up by seven principles that the Lord gives us for spiritual growth for the new year. Seven principles. Number one, salvation. Are you entering into this year with the knowledge and assurance of your salvation? Have you trusted in Christ as your personal Savior? Some listening to this message have been convicted, have heard messages in the past, someday I'm going to be saved. Someday, but you're putting it off. The Word of God says, behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Be born again into the family of God. Secondly, the matter of submission. Submission. Obedience to Christ. Yielding oneself to Christ. The key for spiritual growth is submitting your life to the power and to the will of the Lord. It's Christ who worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And you see, that's where New Year's resolutions run amok, because New Year's resolutions cause us to look to ourselves in what we're going to commit to do, where actually it's a matter of submission, in submitting ourselves to the will and the power of the one who lives within us, who empowers us by his grace. Number three, being spirit-filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. This new year, let's commit ourselves daily to say, Lord, control my reactions, my responses, my attitude. I want to respond as you would have me to, and to yield myself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, saturation. Be saturated with the Word of God. Some people say old folks can't memorize Scripture anymore. That's not true. Did you know that it's been shown that Scripture memory can actually cause Alzheimer's to lose its effect? It can keep your mind sharp in memorizing Scripture. And how I thank the Lord and think of my grandmother who had memorized chapters of God's Word and retained those as she went on in life. Saturate your mind with Scripture. Use Scripture. Use and rely on Scripture when you're facing temptation. It's part of being condition red, not condition white. It's being ready, because there will be times when you will be attacked and you will not have the Word of God. Saturation, number four. Number five, being sanctified, being made conformed to the image of Christ. Are you closer and more readily conformed to the image of Christ than before you entered 2018? Has there been observable spiritual growth? You know, I've really noticed this in the lives of my grandchildren when they came home this year. Just in 1 year, the depth of maturity and knowledge of the Lord and the application of God's Word, as I sat with each one of them and talked with them about school and their friends and things that were going on in their lives, and the response and the perception, I saw a tremendous spiritual growth. And it's all tied in, certainly, with a family that loves the Lord and a church that preaches the Word, that has children's ministries and programs and such. And that's all important, and it's part of that. But that practice of sanctification, how critical it is. Staying in the truth of God's Word, surrounding yourself with the right kind of peer pressure, that which will encourage you. And you know what? There are other young people that will provide that as well. But you know what? You have to go to the right places. If you're going to just take your kids to ball games and watch the Orlando Magic with the hula girls jumping up and down in mid-game, you know, that's not going to be the right kind of environment for them to grow. Take them to a church that has Awana, that has a children's ministry, that has the capacity of helping them to grow spiritually. That's very, very critical and very, very important. Then, number six, serving. Serving. And that involves the use of spiritual gifts, being involved in serving Christ, using your spiritual gifts. You know, it's my prayer, and we'll amplify on this next week in my evening message, but It's very, very important that when we transfer to other ministries, that we find a place that all of us can use our spiritual gifts, not just ones that can teach, but that all of us can have a part in the use of our spiritual gifts. Very, very critical that we keep involved. And it'll keep you young when you're getting older, when you keep on serving Christ, getting involved in young people's lives. I've known individuals that were 60 and 70 years old that worked in Awana. And they were scripture listeners. And they played and helped, and you know what? It kept them young, and it kept them involved. That is so critical, serving the Lord. And the next one you're not going to like. But you know, sometimes the Lord allows this in our lives. Sometimes we may have to suffer for Him. And I'm not just talking about physical pain, I'm talking about the spiritual pain. Should this happen in our lives, we have the instruction of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And I'd like to share that scripture if you'll turn there with me in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were you called. Do you know that the Lord called you to suffer? If we're joined to Christ, folks, and we are risen with Christ, and we are to reflect Christ, and we're to resemble Christ, don't you think that that's going to bring a little bit of the animosity of the world against us? And I believe that there are days ahead in which the church will suffer more than she ever has before within the continental United States. And it will not be some invading force. It'll be individuals that have graduated from our own liberal universities that have adopted the world life view of globalism and socialism and atheism, humanism, and we'll have to suffer. Hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. And I've had some candid talks with my sons in the ministry. And we've talked about things that they may be facing that I never have had to face before. And all of them are prepared, but are trusting in God's enablement to stand when they need to, and as they are standing. And we need to prepare ourselves as well. I think of pastors in China that have been declared, just by establishing a church, they've been declared enemies of the state, subversive to the government, and thrown in prison. You know, we can talk about wanting to do business with China. You know what? I think we need to be strong against China with human rights, and we need to put the screws down on them. And if we're going to have proper trade and agreements, we need to see to it that you allow liberty in your country. And if we insist on that, and I believe President Trump desires to do that, I believe that we can see some real progress. Yes, God works through people to accomplish that. We're starting to see that in Egypt. And we're starting to see there was a major cathedral that was built in Egypt. And Egypt is starting to allow for more religious liberty. Pray that this will continue and that we'll see. But there are people certainly suffering for their faith. Our Savior did no sin. No guile was found in His mouth, and yet He still suffered. It's not just the troublemakers that suffer. Our Lord was perfect, and yet they accused Him. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. Going back to the message of what the table of the Lord represents, and as we reflect on what He was willing to go through for us, reflecting on the Sunday school lesson, as Brother Dick shared with us so powerfully, when He suffered, He threatened not. But what was His attitude? He committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. And we need to commit ourselves to Him that judges righteously. Everything that He allows in our lives is for a reason. And faith is saying, Lord, I find no fault in You. Though You slay me, yet will I trust You. And God has a purpose. And the Word of God says, as following the example of our Savior, He committed Himself to Him, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. So by practicing these seven principles found in Scripture, we'll be able to understand and experience God's blessing for our lives in the coming year. I'm going to be giving some additional counsel and direction and in the coming months as Central Florida Bible Church continues, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you to meditate upon these truths. Thank the Lord that He is the key and He holds the future, as we heard so beautifully illustrated in the ministry of music today. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'd like to ask you a question today. Is there a spirit of fear or anxiety that you are facing this coming year, 2019? It might be an upcoming surgery. It might be an income tax preparation. It might be your livelihood that is threatened. It might be job termination. Whatever the case might be, it might be fear of the future. Your health may be deteriorating. Whatever the case might be, are you willing to give that fear and deposit that, commit yourself into the arms of a Savior who loves you and has made provision for you? And just visibly see Jesus standing before you and take that concern that you have in your hands and see yourself in your mind's eye handing that over to Jesus right now. And Lord Jesus, all of these concerns, all of these misunderstandings, Lord, I'm giving them over to You. And I'm not going to take them back. I'm going to deposit them. Because, Lord, You judge righteously, and You will lead and direct in my life this coming year. This is my prayer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.